The book of Philippians. Just two verses that really will lead into what is upon the mind for a little while this evening. The book of Philippians, chapter 1, and reading at verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Down to verse 9, please. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ. Now, a few verses about the great privileges that God wants to bestow upon the saints, the first of them all in the book of James, chapter 1. We're going to look at the crowns that God has got for the saints at the judgment seat. The book of James in chapter 1, reading at verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Verses already quoted today in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, please. 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 2. Verse 19. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this was quoted by our brother Bargramian this morning. 2 Timothy and chapter 4. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And one last verse in the book of Peter and chapter 5. The first epistle of Peter and chapter 5. You'd know it was the first epistle, of course, because the second one's only got three chapters in it. So 1 Peter chapter 5. He's speaking to elders from verse 1. And in verse 4, he says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now may the Lord grant his blessing to the reading of his good word once again today. We've had much practical ministry today, child of God, relative to the life of the believer in dealing with the flesh. Our brother Jim McCall, he brought verses before us that dealt with the flesh in its activity. Whenever you come to Amalek, it always deals with the flesh in activity. And you'll always find that Amalek is attacking when the saints of God are feeding and drinking on the things of God. It's after the manna. It's after the water has been, the rock has been struck. That's when Amalek comes. He's the flesh in his activity. He's got to be dealt with. Our dear brother Thompson, he brought us not so much the flesh in its activity, but the flesh in its indolence. the child of God, that can be just as bad as we left. For Moab, of course, is not the flesh in activity. Moab is the flesh in its indolence. That's why he's a big fat man. And that's why he sits in his summer house alone. And always the flesh in its indolence. We have to deal with the flesh. There are many aspects of the flesh in Scripture. I suppose Ishmael would bring before us thoughts of the flesh that would rob us of our inheritance if it could. We can see the Philistine, the flesh in its religious character, setting itself against God. There are many aspects of the flesh in the Word of God. But we have to deal with the flesh. It's not something that God deals with. It's something that God wants you to deal with. It's something that God wants me to deal with. We are told to put off, and we are told to put on the new man. We have to deal with the flesh. If we don't deal with the flesh, child of God, it's going to be costly. Not presently, of course, but in a future day. But how we live now is going to depend on the place of honour that we're going to have in a day to come when the Lord Jesus returns. This morning, we were looking in the book of Romans in chapter 8. We were seeing how that we're joint heirs with Christ. We see how that in the day when the Lord Jesus is going to be brought back into this scene, you and I, we're going to be brought back with him. And we're going to share in all the glories of our Lord Jesus in that coming kingdom. The book of Corinthians in chapter 6, it teaches very, very clearly that the saints of this dispensation, we are going to judge the world. We're going to govern the world. And the world is going to come under our authority. Not only the world, but angels, we're told in the book of Corinthians. Those great beings that Psalm 103 says are greater in power and might than we. There's coming a day when they're going to be made subject to us. The Bible says that they're now ministers to those that are to be the heirs of salvation. But child of God, they're not going to minister to us. They're going to minister from us in a day to come. And perhaps that's why they're seen at the gates of that great city in the book of the Revelation and chapter 21. Because the gates are the center of administration, and as the saints of God, as a city, are going to administer this word, the angels are stood at those gates. For the angels are going to do your bidding and my bidding in the day to come. They now stand before the throne to do God's bidding. But in the book of the Revelation, chapter 21, they stood at the gates of the city to do our bidding, for we shall judge angels. There's great privileges for the saints of God in the day to come. But child of God, your place of honour in that day is going to depend on how you've lived for God now. And that's why I brought before you these crowns. But if I'm not prepared to live for God now, I'm going to lose out in a day to come. The judgment seat is before us. And how we live now, child of God, is going to be determined at that judgment seat. And the Lord is going to display and give to us crowns. And those crowns are for how we have lived for him in this present day. Now we're all going to get to the judgment seat. The judgment seat is a place where every believer is going to be brought to. Bless God, it's one of the grounds of our salvation. It's going to take place after the rapture. It's going to take place before the Lord Jesus comes back in manifest glory. And every believer is going to be there. I love the verse in the book of Philippians, when verse 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you." I think Lydia at the riverside, she'd have remembered God began this. Paul would remember God began this. Do you remember when he essayed in Acts chapter 16 to go in two different directions and the Spirit hindered him and the Spirit suffered him not? And in the night vision, "Come over and help us, oh he that began a good work." You see, salvation is of the Lord. And your salvation and mine, it all began with him, child of God. He began the work. And at that little prayer meeting, down at the riverside, whose heart the Lord opened. You don't open your heart to the Lord, you know. I know evangelists preach it. But it's whose heart the Lord opened. And when she opened her heart, it was that she might give attendance to the things that were spoken of Paul. And the Lord opened her heart so that she might receive the gospel as it preached. And I trust tonight, perhaps God might take and touch some heart here. Except some dear brother takes up the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you might give attendance to the words that are spoken, that you might get saved. But it's only when you give attendance that you will get saved. But then, you remember that Philippian jailer? When Paul in the inner prison, along with Silas, they started to sing. Someone has said they had a captive audience, you know. And so good was the singing, they brought the house down. The earthquake shook the place. But it resulted in the Philippian jailer getting saved. He that began a good work. Well, child of God, in your experience and mine, God began it. And when you look at this verse, he that begun a good work in you will perform it, will complete it till the day of Christ. My salvation rests wholly and totally on the God that began it. And God is going to see that I'm going to stand at that judgment seat. He's going to preserve me for it in a day to come. But when I come down to verses 9 onwards, it's not me standing at the judgment seat. That depends on God. It's how I stand there. And child of God, that depends on me. Standing there all depends on God. How I stand there all depends on me. Look at the verses, and I'm going to leave them very swiftly with you. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, is the word. You see, my God doesn't want a wishy-washy love that's going to cover sin. We're too prone to that, aren't we? I know love covers a multitude of sins. But child of God, though God wants love to abound, he doesn't want that love to cover sin. For sin has ever got to be brought out in the open, and sin has ever got to be judged. If I'm going to have a place of honour at the judgment seat, then I've got to know how to deal with sin, child of God, whenever it rises, whether it rises here or whether it rises in the gathering. For sadly, sometimes we'll neither judge it here, nor will we judge it when it comes in God's assembly. And we'll gloss over sin. We might even encourage sin. At your peril. At your peril. The child of God, what you do now is going to be discovered there. And if I've not lived aright, we'll see in a moment, let me tell you, we're going to lose out at that judgment seat. You are not living for the present only. You're living with eternity in view. And all that you get at the judgment seat of Christ, as your life comes back upon you, like a boomerang, I cast it out. It's coming back at the judgment seat. And child of God, if I've not lived aright, then I'm going to lose something at that judgment seat. And I'll lose honour and I'll lose place in that coming kingdom. I'll not have the crowns that I ought to have. For those crowns will determine the place that the Lord is going to give me in administration in a day to come. Here, he says, verse 10, that you may approve things that are excellent. I think one rendering simply says that you might prove the more excellent way. I like that rendering. Some are not prepared to walk that excellent way, are they? They're not prepared to deal with the flesh as we've heard today. They're not prepared to move in the good of divine truth. But what my God wants, child of God, is that my love will abound in more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that I might approve that excellent way, that I'll not stumble until the day of Christ. For he wants me there, and he wants me to receive honour in that day. Child of God, how do I deal with the flesh? How do I deal with sin? How am I going to live my life for God here? But I want to tell you, it's going to come back to us at the judgment seat. And from it is going to come the place of honour that we're going to have in a coming day. Now, when I come to the New Testament, I discover that there are five crowns that the Lord wants to give to us. The first crown, we read it in the book of James in chapter 1. I'm going to touch them very briefly. The first crown, child of God, I believe every believer is going to get it. Every believer. Some people have said that this crown is the martyr's crown. I don't think so. I think it's a crown that you get just because you're saved. Bless God. Every believer is going to get one crown. The Bible says at that judgment seat in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, every man shall have praise of God. And I take it that this first crown has to do with what you've done with the Saviour. Look at the verse. I can't spend the time on it tonight, for we've only a few minutes. But blessed is the man that endureth temptation. I say, somebody, here's the martyr's crown. You're going through trial. And when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. So you see, this is because of trial and this is because of suffering. But go on, will you please? But I believe the end of the verse. It really defines the crown, child of God, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. But you know, this life is a life of testing. This life is a life of trial. But God says at the end of this life of trial, just remember this, I promised you a crown. You'll find the same crown in the book of the Revelation, chapter 2, to the saints at Smyrna. They're going to endure tribulation 10 days, but says the book of Revelation in chapter 2, it says, when you're tried, you will receive the crown of life. You know, I believe it's just the carrot, if you like, put before the donkey. The trials are going to come, the difficulties are going to come. You've come to Christ, you'll suffer with him, you're going to be glorified together. But just remember this, through the trial, just because you belong to our Lord Jesus, he's promised you this. He's promised you a crown of life. You're going to get one. Every believer is going to get the crown of life, which God has promised to them that love him. But the pathway of suffering here, child of God, will be endured. And at the end of it, he will give us a crown of life. Now, come to the second one, please, in the book of Corinthians in chapter 9. This is not for coming to know the Saviour. This is for obedience to the Scriptures. And when I come to these verses, I take it, it is against the background of obedience to Scripture. I'm only going to run through them. No, you're not. But they which run in a race, run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. There's the contestants in the race. And the laurel crown is before them. And here they're told, there's only one can win that prize. So run that you may obtain. But child of God, it's the idea of running according to the rules. It's not the idea of running to outlast or outbeat the other man. You see, if I don't run according to the rules, I can be disqualified. We had a man called Peters. And he was running and winning the marathon in one of the big Olympics. As he came near towards the end, his feet started to falter and his legs started to buckle. And a very well-intentioned steward came and gave him his arm and helped him over the line. He didn't win. He didn't run according to the rules. He should have done it just himself, you see. Here I take it when it says, so run that you may obtain, child of God, the rules, the word of God, the Scriptures are set before us. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. He'll deal with the flesh. He'll acknowledge the authority of the word of God. He'll move according to divine truth. For child of God, it's not a corruptible crown, it's an incorruptible crown. The crown of life for the Saviour, an incorruptible crown for obedience to the Scriptures. And the Apostle Paul, as we heard today, he thinks of that judgment seat. He thinks of the fact of his own ministry. I preach to others, But he sees that there are things that can hinder him from receiving this crown. The child of God, something could come in to stop him from getting it. So says the apostle, I can see where the problem lies. The problem lies with this body of mine. The body, child of God, could stop me getting this prize. And so the apostle says, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, so keep I under my body. And the idea there is literally giving myself a black eye. He's going to beat it and bring it into subjection. I don't want anything to stop me. As I think of the coming glories, and I think of the honour that's going to be given at that judgment seat, I want an incorruptible crown. And child of God, he's going to see to it that he's going to move according to the mind and will of God. Can I test myself by the divine word? Is everything in order according to it, child of God? Are the truths I conveniently put on one side? Others I gloss over? They're too demanding. Do you find them too demanding at the judgment seat? Or will you wish you'd given him more? And you dealt with the flesh. And you'd honored the word. Or you'll get one. But here's one we could certainly lose. Come again, please, to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is a lovely crown. Paul knew he'd got one. I'm sure there are many here that know they've got this one too. For here, child of God, is not the crown of life just because I know the Saviour. This is not the incorruptible crown because I've been obedient to Scripture. Here, he talks about a crown of rejoicing. Child of God, this is because of sinners, of souls, that I've led to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all it is. Here the apostle says, what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? I don't think this is the rapture, you know. Chapter 1 and verse 10 is the rapture. To wait for his Son from heaven, our deliverer from the wrath to come. But here what he's looking at is the day when the saints are going to come out in visible manifestation with our Lord Jesus. A lady on the plane coming over, she wanted to know what the 153 great fish of the Gospel of John were. I wish I could tell her. She wanted to know the numbers, you know, and what they signified. I said to her, I don't know, dear, but I do know this. It was the morning hour when they were counted. And I do know this, they were all great fish. I said, you know, there's coming a day when we're going to stand before our Lord Jesus Christ. And all the great fish are going to be there. Every one of them a great fish. And he's going to know the numbers. You see, we don't know who we've had the privilege of leading to Christ sometimes, do we? A gentleman came to our home just a few weeks ago. And he told my wife, he said, you know, will you tell your husband that the last time he was down with us, he went home very disappointed because there was nobody saved. And we know he was very disappointed. We could see it in him. He said, but just tell him, he said, there was a man that came in there, a vagrant off the streets, a drug addict. He got saved in those meetings. He's now baptized and he's now in fellowship. Lovely, isn't it? You never know, you see. The child of God at the judgment seat. All those we've had the privilege of leading to our Lord Jesus. Why, there they are. And as they're coming out with that blessed man, says the apostle, here they are, my crowns of rejoicing. Have you got any? In that day, will you be saying, I wish I'd given him more? Or like the young fellow, saved on his deathbed, brought up with the gospel, but turned his back on it until God struck him down. And saved just a week or so before he died. And in that week he wrote that hymn, I believe. Must I go, and empty-handed, must I meet my Saviour so? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed go. Child of God, the measure in which you've been faithful in the gospel, the measure in which it pleased God to bless you, is going to be displayed in that day to come. I pray God will have crowns then crowns of rejoicing. Souls we've led to our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Look at 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. And here, it's not now for our knowledge of the Saviour, our appreciation of Scripture, our speaking to sinners, but simply our steadfastness in divine things. See how Paul begins? I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to be poured out. To become that drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. And his first answer before Nero, no one had stood by him, I suppose. Now he knew the end was near. He knew the chopping block was coming. But he says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Will you see, please? Everything from this point was dependent upon him. And if I'm going to deal with the flesh, and if I'm going to live for God, I know he's a child of God. If God has given me great blessings, there comes great responsibilities on me to live out those blessings. And God has given me the power to do that. I should be able to do that. Paul's coming to the end of the course. He can look back now. He can see the steadfastness of character. Nothing now. He has not failed in his life for God here. Therefore he can say, henceforth there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. He knew he was going to get it. A blessed thing, wouldn't it? For every one of us knew that this crown was going to be ours. Oh, we know we've got the crown of life. Some of us say, yes, we've got the crown of rejoicing. None of us can be sure of getting that incorruptible crown because the body might beat us if we're not careful. But Paul, at the end of the journey, he knew full well that the crown of righteousness was his. He knew this side of heaven, but at the judgment seat, he was going to get this crown, child of God. You're drawing to the end of the journey, brother or sister. Have you got the same confidence? Can you look back over an untarnished path and see where there's been faithfulness for God? You young men, you young women, do you want it? There are tremendous snares out there. As our brother said, things weren't the same in his day. They weren't the same in my day. There are things that are being allowed by saints today that would never have been allowed in our day. And they could bring you into associations, let me tell you, that will spoil you for eternity. You be careful with your associations. And you be careful with your links. For you're not living for 70 years here only. All that you do here now is going to rebound throughout the ages of eternity. Don't just be persuaded by things you see about you. You get a conviction before God and stick to that conviction, no matter what it costs you. Listen, says the apostle here, it's not for me only, but for them that love his appearing. We're living, you see, in the light of the coming of our Lord Jesus back to take up his rightful place here upon the earth. We're living in light of that coming kingdom. But there's a man in these verses, he's not loving the appearing. The Bible says of him, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. What do I love? Do I live in the light of loving the appearing, having come through the judgment seat, my reward with me? Or, child of God, am I living in the light of this present world? I can be a Paul. I can be a Demas. When you go to the book of Peter, chapter 5, bless God. There it speaks of the crown of glory, elders, men with a true shepherd care for the flock, caring for the flock. I would that all men cared for the flock. And as they do care for the flock, why, when the chief shepherd appears, a crown of glory. Perhaps some of us will not be able to get that crown, but nevertheless it's a crown to go in for. The measure in which I live for God today, for the measure be the measure of my reward, I will be the measure of my place in that coming kingdom. There's a verse in the book of the Revelation which says, let no man take thy crown. May God bless his word.
The Gospel by Matthew, please, and chapter 11. It's nice to hear the children singing there. I really enjoyed that. That's the way, boys. Sing up in the gospel meetings. The Gospel by Matthew, please, in chapter 11 and at verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Verse 16, But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous, and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought